What the angel said to the shepherds was true. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Critics and skeptics assert that Jesus didn't really teach anything new, that religious leaders and figures before him taught similar things. Apart from the fact that such an assertion is only vaguely true if we broadly define teaching, for instance, Jesus spoke about good and evil, so did others. I would assert that the teaching of Jesus is both unique and, as politically incorrect as it might be to say this, superior to all others. Jesus didn't just say to love your family and love your children. He said to love your enemies. He took the law and raised it to the next level and addressed the heart. But all of that really misses the point. You see, because Jesus did not come primarily to bring a message. He is the message. Jesus did not come just to show us the way. He is the way. At Jesus' birth, he was introduced as Savior. But salvation, though proclaimed at his birth, did not occur until his death. While we celebrate the joy of the Christmas season, we should also pause to remember the cross. One of my favorite plants at Christmas time is the poinsettia. Now, the truth is, the poinsettia, as far as I know, is native to Mexico. So, when I share this legend with you, it's probably just that, a legend, but it's a good one to know. I don't know if you're familiar with the poinsettia plant. And by the way, if you say poinsettia, you're saying it wrong. The poinsettia plant is the red leaves on top. It comes in a variety of colors, but primarily red and then green on the bottom. And you know, by the way, poinsettias, if you let them grow and you're in the right climate, they will grow and grow and grow into a tree. But the legend of the poinsettia is that it was, in fact, even though it's a Christmas plant, it was the plant that was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And when he sweat drops of blood, that's, according to legend, what tinged the top leaves and made them red. And so when you see a poinsettia and celebrate Christmas, they're beautiful plants. But remember, not just on the night that he was born, but 30 plus years later. And go ahead and peel back that first layer. Scripture tells us that on the night that he was betrayed, a different night, not quite as joyous as the one that we celebrate tonight, but on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Let's do that. Then peel the next. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. So often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's remember Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize, we celebrate the birth. But what makes the birth so great is the death and resurrection. So we thank you that we have forgiveness at the cross. And it all started away in a manger. In his name, amen. You know the sad thing? We got extras. Sad thing is that kid's 11 years old. I want to read a familiar text, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the same time of King Herod, he wasn't born in Bethlehem, these events are taking place in Bethlehem. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. It's a familiar story. People speculate on who the Magi were. Who exactly were these guys? Were they magicians? Were they sorcerers? Were they wise men? Were they kings? Were there three of them? The truth of the matter is, we don't know. And I don't care. Because they're not the star of the story. People go on and say, well, what about that star? What exactly was that these people saw? Was it Saturn or Jupiter or Saturn and Jupiter or a planetary alignment or a comet? And you know, the truth of the matter is, we don't know. And I don't care. Well, these phenomenon and people were real and really happened. The focus of the story is clearly on the child. I love that song. What child is this? We're not singing it tonight, so you'll just have to sing it at home. What about the gifts? Gold, incense, or frankincense in the old King James, and myrrh. Do these mean something? People have made a great deal about what the meaning is of the gold and the incense and the myrrh, and there's some interesting speculation as to what they might have meant and foreshadowed and intended and so on, but actually these were three common, portable, marketable commodities. Because God knew, and they didn't, that before long, if you keep reading in Matthew, they were going on a journey. They were going to be relocating. They were going to be moving to Egypt. You know, it's interesting. There are hundreds of prophecies about the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled them all. The trifecta, the one that I think is amazing, is the Messiah was supposed to be from Nazareth, but born in Bethlehem and come out of Egypt. How's this guy get born in three different places? So he's only born in one place. But we know that he ended up in Egypt, and then he grew up in Nazareth. The trifecta. And that's just the beginning. Hundreds of prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. We could get caught up in all sorts of speculation and miss the bigger point of this text. Like the Magi said, whoever they were, to Herod, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? The first Christmas began with a gift, the most valuable gift. I thought you'd like that. Now listen, I'm going to wrap this up here. Jesus wasn't born because it was Christmas, because Christmas didn't exist. It became Christmas because Jesus was born. Or maybe you could say it this way. Jesus wasn't born because it was Christmas. It was Christmas because Jesus was born. Somehow it seems Christmas has become mostly about receiving. We talk about what you want. We go sit on Santa's lap and tell him what we want. Well-tuned-in parents are listening closely. We talk about at the office. If we have young children, when they go back to school after winter break, formerly known as Christmas break, they go back to school, the first question that most of their peers and many of their teachers were asked them will be, so what did you get? Somehow, it seems Christmas has become mostly about receiving, expecting, anticipating what we will get. Society, advertising, schools, doesn't help. But it's Jesus who taught it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Magi, whoever they were, came bearing gifts. I wonder if they expected something in return. You know, was this the origins of the first secret Santa or something like that? No, of course not. They didn't come to receive. They came to give. And of course, God gave the most valuable gift. This Christmas season, enjoy it. Sing the songs. Drink the eggnog. All of it. Share time with friends and family. Give hugs. Make merry. Have joy. But don't forget the most valuable gift. Maybe this will be the year that you have your first encounter with Jesus. When you decide that, you know what, it's time to take that step. It's time to become a follower of Jesus. The world, you know, it's a saying, but the world is going to hell. But with each passing day, that cliche seems more authentic. Don't be like the world. Follow Jesus, the babe that was born. For unto you this day is born a Savior, the one who can change your heart, change your life, change your destiny. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season. May your blessings be poured out upon us all in ways that we did not expect, maybe haven't even anticipated. And Lord, as we unwrap stuff that we'll forget about within days and maybe definitely years to come, maybe this will be the year that we receive the ultimate gift of salvation of Christ as we give our heart to the Lord. Or for those of us who made that decision however long ago, we give ourselves more fully, get serious about our faith. Not just something that we return to from time to time. But Lord, may you become the center of our lives. Lord, these are difficult times. For some, it's difficult financially. For others, it's difficult emotionally. And a variety of stresses on families and individuals out there. Lord, may we discover anew, maybe for the first time, what it really means to have joy. Joy that comes not from fruitcake and eggnog, but Lord, joy that comes from you and your presence. Pour out your joy on our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name.